Thank you. Well, thank you so much. And again, it's a privilege to be here. I want you to know that I have great respect for your pastor. I've known him for many, many years, and he's a friend, a good friend. He's a godly man, and you're very privileged to have him here at this church. I know Brother Wyatt. He came with us to the Philippines many years ago. Our congregation has built 5 church buildings in the Philippines, and we helped build an orphanage over there. And he came with us and helped us build a church building in Anao, Paniki. And that's wonderful. I have a great love for the Filipino people. We have a Filipino ministry in our church in Barrie. We have a Filipino fellowship that meets the last Sunday or last Saturday evening of each month, where we get together and sing some songs and have a message from God's Word and play some games and eat lots of Asian food. It's wonderful. I enjoy the Asian food. And our dear brother here, I got a story to tell you about him. Many years ago, we had a group, I think it was from Oklahoma Baptist College. They were singing at our church, and I called Brother McLean and said, "Brother McLean, we've got this group of fellows here. Would you be interested in having them come and sing at your church on Wednesday night?" And he said, "Sure, bring them down." So we, on our way to Hamilton, the van broke down just outside of Hamilton. So somehow he arranged to pick us up. We came here. Well, because the van was broken down, we needed to have a place to stay that night because the van couldn't be fixed till the next day. So our brother was away. He and his wife were gone somewhere. Brother McLean said, "Oh, I'm sure he wouldn't mind you staying in his house." Now, can you ladies imagine that? And so somebody had a key. So they opened up his house. We all went in and found a place to sleep around there. And he said, "He's going to be away for a couple days yet." Well, they decided to come home early. And they came home in the middle of the night to find all their bedrooms full. And shoes and everything all by the entryway. But somehow they found a place to sleep, and we saw them the next morning, and they were so gracious. And that's just a wonderful Christian spirit they had to put us up and take care of us. All right, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Kings chapter 2. I'll have a good report, by the way, for your pastor of how everybody has pitched in and taken care of leading the service and done such a good job in preparing everything. 1 Kings chapter 2. Title of the message this morning is "The Day the Waters Were Healed." The day the waters were healed. 1 Kings chapter 2, and down please to verse number 12. Would you stand with me, please, and follow along as I begin reading at verse 12. I'll read through verse 22. "Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and said, 'Comest thou peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably.' And he said, 'Moreover, I have somewhat to say to thee.' And she said, 'Say on.' And he said, 'Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel has set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about, and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not.' And she saith unto him, 'Say on.' And he said, 'Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he give me Abishag, the Shunammite, to wife.' And Bathsheba said, 'Well, I speak for thee unto the king.' And Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon, spoke unto Adonijah. The king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused the seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. And then she said, I desire one petition of thee, I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on my mother, for I will not say thee nay. She said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite and Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him and Abijah the priest and Joab the son of Jezura. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning as we look at your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our own lives. May the Spirit of God speak to each of our hearts today. And I ask, Lord, that a great work would be done in our midst here today. And if there be any present who know not Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray that this would be the day that they might come to thee. For these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, when your pastor returns, he's going to say, how did things go? What you want to do is say, Pastor, we missed you so much. Although Pastor Pennell was here and did a good job, he's not you. We missed you so much. That'll make him feel good. I know I would go away and preach different times, and I'd come home and people would say, oh, Pastor, it was wonderful. Your son did a good job preaching, and we enjoyed it so very, very much, and I would feel like I wasn't missed. So make sure your pastor feels like he was missed. I actually read the wrong portion of Scripture this morning. Instead of 1 Kings, I wanted to read 2 Kings chapter 2. So just turn in your Bibles over there. I was reading along and saying, this doesn't make any sense for what I'm preaching. That's another thing that happens in old age. In 2 Kings chapter 2, it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. In this chapter, Elijah was taken home to heaven without dying, and it's a picture of the rapture. I believe the Lord is coming again soon, don't you? He's going to come for those who trust him and know him as Savior and going to take them home to heaven. And the exciting thing is that those people who are alive when the Lord returns will not have to die either. And that's what happened to Elijah. And Elisha was there. He saw it. And the Lord said to him, what would you like to have? What request would you like to make? And Elisha said, I would like a double portion of thy spirit. He was a godly man, obviously. Didn't ask for riches or material things. He said, just give me a double portion of thy spirit. And great things take place in this chapter. The mantle of Elijah, the man of God, fell upon Elisha. And now go down to verse number 12 in chapter 2. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah and that fell upon him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest upon Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves in the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, I pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of God hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley, and he saith, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was shamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days and found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried in Jericho, they said unto them, did I not say unto thee, go not? Unto you go not? And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, but my Lord seeth, but the water is not, the ground is barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse. And they put salt therein, and they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, and they shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. So what we have here is a kind of a school, if you please, called the School of the Prophets, and a Bible, like a Bible college today. And there were three of them mentioned in the scriptures, schools of the prophets, and this one was at Jericho. And in verse 22, we see that the waters were healed, it says, unto this day. I think we get from this that a miracle was performed in the city of Jericho, and the waters were healed. That means they worked. Fresh water came forth from these springs, and they dried up before, and they were having terrible problems because the well was dry. So this is the second miracle, actually, of Elisha, and it was a miracle of healing the waters. Now, I'm not talking today about divine healing as it refers to people who are ill. I believe there are a lot of other kinds of healing that need to take place today, and I think that God can give that kind of healing. I believe that there are a lot of healing that needs to go on amongst God's people in this day. You know, souls need to be healed. People need to be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. He can cleanse you, cleanse your heart. There are people that need comfort today. Some hearts are broken because of broken relationships, children that have gone astray, marriages that haven't worked out, families that are broken apart, and many other things. There are many hearts that need to be healed amongst God's people. And I believe that God can heal anything. The Bible says there's nothing impossible for God. He has the power, and whether you believe it or not, God has power to heal whatever needs to be healed about you and your family today. Often we accept things as they are, broken or otherwise, without really taking these things to God in prayer. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. I believe someday we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see a whole bunch of things over here, and we're going to say, Lord, what are those things? He said, those are the things I had for you, but you never asked for them. We have not because we ask not. We become so self-sufficient that we think we can just do everything in our own strength and in our own power. We don't need God's help. And so we don't bother asking God. And the end result is we don't get some of the blessings that God has for us. But I believe God can heal anything. Anything that's wrong with you today, God can give you his touch and heal that. If it's the will of God, he can and does heal things. I know people that are unhappy because they don't like everybody. Matter of fact, I know some people that don't like anybody. And, you know, that's an awful way to live. And I made up my mind about this years ago, that I was on my knees in prayer one day, and God spoke to me about my attitude, and I made up my mind, God helping me, I will never in my life hold something bitter or a grudge against somebody again. And I haven't. I had a dear friend that did something to me a few years ago. It just hurt me so much. And one of the first things that God dealt with me about was, you remember what you told me years ago when you were on your knees? That you wouldn't hold anything against anybody. I mean, it was a knife in the back. And I said, yes, Lord, I remember. And on the spot, I bowed my head and said, God, I forgive that person. And I'm never going to tell anybody about what it is, and I haven't. And it's just something between that person and myself and them and the Lord. But the Lord needs to heal some hearts maybe today. Are you bitter? Do we have people here today that you're holding a grudge against somebody? You're bitter about something that's happened in your life? Listen, that's no way to live. It'll hurt you more than it'll hurt the person you have a grudge against. You might think that you're just going to hold it against them and it'll harm them, but no, it's going to harm you. And so ask God to heal your heart today. Just love people like God loves people. I believe God can heal that bitter heart. So a great miracle happened here in the Bible, in the city of Jericho. Now, the city of Jericho was also called the city of the curse. God put a curse on Jericho. It was the very first city that rebelled against letting the people of God enter into the promised land. And so God put a curse on that city, and God destroyed it. You remember how we sang and the walls came tumbling down? And indeed, that's what happened in Jericho. The walls fell apart. I've been to Jericho, as maybe some of you have. Those old walls are down flat. You can't see them today. And he put a curse on the city. He destroyed it. And I'm not talking about men cursing like we think of cursing. I'm talking about God putting a curse on it. One man said, curse or no curse, I like the things I see. In the fall of this city, the beautiful garment of cloth, one man said, I see something beautiful there and a few pieces of gold and silver. And I think I'm going to take those things. Now, God said, don't take anything out of the city. But one man said, I see some things here. My wife hasn't had new clothing in 40 years. They've been wandering in the desert. She'd love this Babylonian garment that's here. And so he took it. He took a few little pieces of gold and silver, and he took them back, buried them under his tent. And later on, when he was caught, he was asked why he did this. He said, I saw them, I coveted them, and I took them. That's exactly the formula that's used today when people end up coveting things. You see it, first of all, and then you covet it, and then you go and take it. And that's what happened when thieves break into your home. Achan said, God said to Achan, you've broken my word. And God destroyed Achan and all his family. And I'm talking about this city, in the city of Jericho, which is the city of the curse. Now, wait a minute. Hold on to that for a moment. The city of the curse. Hundreds of years went by, and one day an old wicked king ruled. And we're not the first people that lived with bad leadership. You read the Bible and you discover that some kings were good and some kings were bad. And we live in a day, it seems like we have more bad ones than good ones. And I'm not talking about liberals or conservatives or NDP or Green Party. I'm talking about people who do not want God and people who do not believe in morality and people who do not believe in purity and don't believe in the Ten Commandments and don't believe the Bible is the holy word of God. I want to tell you, I thank God that my crowd of people believe the word of God. And I'm glad to be with you today because I know you too believe the word of God. And you know what I'm talking about. But this king came in. His name was Ahab. You can read about him in the Word of God. The most wicked man. And during his day, a man by the name of Hiel said, I'm going to rebuild the city of Jericho. And the Word of God said, there's a curse on it. God said, he who rebuilds the city shall lay the foundation in the death of his oldest son and hang the gates in the death of his youngest son. And the Bible gives the two boys' names. And when Hiel laid the foundation of the building, indeed his oldest son died, or the city, the oldest son died. And when he hung the last gate, the Word of God says, because the Word of God is always true, it never fails, the youngest son died. And the man built against the will of God. God had cursed that city. Listen, you can't go against God. You may say, well, we live in a new day and the Bible's an old-fashioned book. Certainly it doesn't apply today. Oh, yes, it does. It applies every day. The Bible is a book for every generation. And the principles that God lays down there are just as real and true today as they were the day they were given. A lot of people think that this old world is cursed. And I believe this world is far from God. And this world hates God and shows its irreverence toward him, toward the Word of God and the Bible, what God says in His Word. There are countries where Christians are being persecuted and killed. You need to pray for your missionaries. It's not easy for them in some of these countries. You probably support the Rays like our church does in China. They've had to leave China recently. And there are other countries where they're having a lot of trouble right now. And pray for these countries. Pray that somehow the missionaries will be able to reach more souls and they'll see revival and people are called to preach. You heard me mention about the Philippines. Philippines has been a wonderful open door of the gospel for many years now. And it's really been a tremendous place. It's a soul winner's paradise. You go there and witness to people and people respond easily to the gospel. And missionaries are now going out from the Philippines throughout Asia and other parts of the world preaching the gospel. And it's thrilling to see that. And yet they now have a president that seems to be changing a lot of things. He wants to align with communist China, he says. And communist China doesn't, you know, officially doesn't believe in God and doesn't want missionaries. Anybody that goes into China as a missionary has to go in as a teacher or a business person because you can't go in as a preacher of the gospel. And so you pray for these places like the Philippines and so on that they don't change their laws and the Word of God will have free course. Well, here back in the Bible days here, one man defied God in this city of the curse. And another man took that which God said, do not take out of this accursed city. And let me tell you, there are a lot of things that God does not want you to put your hands on in this accursed world. And whatever God says about this world, I believe it with all my heart. In the city of the curse, a great miracle took place. We read about it a few moments ago. And hear me now. This city had been rebuilt for hundreds of years. Many people are trying to use high-tech methods to do God's work. And I'm not against that. But it's not high-tech that God gives us in the Bible. It's lowering yourself to your knees and going out with the message of God upon your lips. I believe in this city of the curse that we see God's curse upon it and this whole world is cursed. Men are trying to build great ecclesiastical machines today and God's not in it. Do you know men are trying to rebuild the Tower of Babel all over again? They're trying to build something so that you can get to heaven without believing in Jesus, so that you can get to heaven and not even know anything about our blessed Lord. Men are building things that God is going to burn to the ground someday, and they amount to nothing. Man can rebuild a cursed city, but he cannot have the blessing of God on him without being obedient to the Lord. Men are building today for themselves. As I mentioned, this new Tower of Babel. Men say, well, we'll bring in the new millennium. We'll usher in one world government. We'll bring God's blessing upon the world. No, you won't. Mankind can't do what only God can do. Man is going to bring about not the millennium, but man's going to bring about the tribulation. And God's going to judge this world. He's going to do that. And eventually God will bring in the millennium, not man. I'm glad that he's going to bring it in. Years ago, our church in Barrie, we were just getting started when we decided to start a Christian school. We were only 3 years old. And we decided to start a Christian school. The neighbors rose up and said, we don't want a Christian school in this neighborhood. So we don't mind there being a church in the neighborhood, but now we're going to have children running around screaming all day long. We don't want that. And so they approached the township. Our building was in Innisfil Township, just outside of Barrie. It's now a part of Barrie, but at that point it was in Innisfil Township. And they said, we don't want a school here. And so they ended up taking us to court during our first year of having a school. And they got an interim injunction. They were after an interim injunction, temporary injunction. And we won that case. We were able to have the school the first year. But right in the last week of our school, they had also applied for a permanent injunction. The reason was that they used is that our building setback requirements were too close on one side to a neighbor's property. And they weren't too close in the most recent bylaw, but they discovered in the court case that that bylaw had never received Ontario Municipal Board approval. So they had to go back to a 1953 bylaw, which was the last one that had received approval. And under that bylaw, our building was too close on the one side. So they enjoined us that we could not have a school there. As a matter of fact, they said, if we want to, we can stop you from having church services there as well. Well, this upset me. And, you know, I know the Bible says we as Christians are going to come back and reign with the Lord during the millennial reign of Christ. So at that time I asked the Lord, Lord, during the millennium, can I please be the mayor of Innisfil Township? I said, not only will we allow Christian schools, but we're going to demand that every church have a Christian school and have the bylaws such that they'll be able to have Christian education, not some godless education. So I know that you have not, because we have not, because we ask not from time to time, and maybe God will let me be the mayor of Innisfil Township during the millennial reign. But I've always wanted to reign over something, and the Bible says that we're going to reign with him, so hallelujah. I trust this old wicked world will let me reign something somewhere. Some of you folks maybe do not even love one another. You need to be healed. Maybe we have husbands here who don't really love their wives, or wives that don't really love their husbands. You need to be healed. Maybe we got some teenagers here that don't love their parents the way they should. You need to be healed. Or people that don't love their preacher the way they should. You need to be healed. God needs to touch your heart today. One of these days, you are going to love one another. You'll have to, because you're going to be a part of the millennium if you're saved. And I thank God for the healing power and the healing touch of the Lord. Let's get back to our story here in Jericho. These men in the city of Jericho, the city of the curse, Elisha came, and they said, our water is poisoned. Our water's no good. Oh my, how we could take today and talk about poisoned waters. I know many seminaries are poisoned today, and the students that they're sending out are poisoned. They're coming out with a false gospel. You just ride around the countryside and look at the empty church buildings, because people got poisoned. People came out not preaching the gospel and started preaching a social gospel, and the churches emptied, and church after church they're closing down. I preached recently in a church in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, a Baptist congregation. Many years ago, a Presbyterian preacher went to that area by canoe, came down the river and established a town there, and that town is now called Prince Albert. And they established a Presbyterian church. They built a beautiful big Presbyterian church building. And for years, the old guy preached the gospel and people got saved. But after a while, things changed, and seminaries started producing people that weren't preaching the gospel. And after a while, that church attendance dwindled and dwindled and dwindled till it got to the point they couldn't sustain the building any longer. And it was going to, structurally, the city told them they needed to spend $1.5 million to secure the building, that the roof and so on was not secure the way it should be. And they said, we can't afford that. And so they offered it to the Baptist congregation. for free. And so the Baptists took their engineers up and looked at it and so on, and they said, we can fix this much cheaper than what they're saying. And so the city approved their plan, and the Baptists went in, renovated the building and so on, and for a total cost of just over $70,000, they're in this beautiful big building, has a beautiful big pipe organ, stained glass windows. I mean, it doesn't look like a Baptist church, but they're in there, and they're right downtown where they need to be, and they're reaching souls for Christ. Why was that made possible? Because some waters in some seminaries got poisoned, and the men that they were sending out no longer preached the gospel. We need to make sure that our Bible colleges and churches and so on are not poisoned. And so here in Jericho, they had a well that served the city that was, the water was no good. And so they said to Elisha, we need to have our water healed. We need to have our water changed so we can use this water again. And Elisha went and performed a miracle. You know, it's an important thing to make sure that you have the right message coming to the people of the congregation. And I know your preacher is the kind of man that stands true on the old King James Bible, and that's the way it should be. Don't let anybody come in here and say what we need to do is we need to have a new version of the Bible. I'll tell you what happens. When that happens, standards begin to change. They begin to drop. And then your music will change. You'll go to contemporary. And then before long, people will stop getting saved. God's blessing will be off the church. And I'm simply saying to you, stay true to the old-fashioned Word of God. Don't let somebody poison you with a perverted Bible when they come in here. Now, I might be talking to someone today who's got something other in their hand than the King James Bible. May I encourage you to get a hold of the King James Bible and read it. You say, well, I can't understand it. The reason people can't understand it is because they don't read it. Read it and study it and ask God's Holy Spirit to open it for you so that you will understand. And nobody has a right to change the Word of God. I don't care if they're a professor. I don't care if they're a scholar. They have no right to change the Word of God. Who has the right to change what God says? Who has the right to take something out of the Bible? Who has the right to add something to the Bible? And that's what these new versions have done. You said, oh, but Pastor, they just paraphrased it so I can understand it. Listen, you would understand it if you get the right teacher, capital T. Let the Holy Spirit of God teach you. And you go to the one who wrote it and ask him to help you to understand it, and he'll do that, and you won't be poisoned by what you're reading. So there, here we have this cursed city. Said these water, the people said, these waters need to be healed. Let me mention to you today about the water, pure water. Listen, the water in the Bible has three things it stands for. Number one, it's the water of life. You need pure water. Pure water. Pure. Right from the Bible. About how to get saved and who the Lord is and why he died and why he was buried and why he rose again and for our salvation. Water stands for salvation in the Word of God. And I like what the woman at the well said when she said to Jesus, give me this water to drink. When you know she was talking with Jesus, and the disciples went into the city to buy meat, and they came back, and here was Jesus talking to this woman of Samaria, which they would not do. They probably talked to nobody when they were in the city. But they came out, and here was Jesus talking to a woman of Samaria. And he had led this woman to himself. And when they asked Jesus, would you like something to eat? He said, no, I've already. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Have you ever led a soul to Christ? If you've ever led a soul to Christ, you know exactly what Jesus was talking about. It's pretty exciting. It's fulfilling when you know that you've just showed someone the gospel and they've responded to the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus said, I have meat that ye know not of. And this woman came to the well, and she was a desperate character. She put her water pot on the well, and Jesus began to talk to her, and he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither again. Oh, thank God for the water of life. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember how your spiritual thirst was quenched by the water of life, by your salvation, the salvation that Jesus gave you? And I want to say to you that if you know nothing about this water, come to Christ today. Don't put it off. That's just as true today as it was when Jesus talked to the woman at the well. Come and give the Lord your heart and your life, and he'll save you. And you can be born again. Water in the Bible not only stands for salvation, but for the Word of God. It stands for power. Let me read to you a wonderful statement of Jesus. And I believe this is what I need today more than anything else in this world. With all my soul, I believe my greatest need is found in these verses. This is in John 7, verses 37 and 38. He said, if any man thirst, let him come after me and drink. And he that believeth in me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly, that means his innermost being, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Hey, we need the Holy Spirit of God. We need him. Every day when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to live within your body. That's why the Bible calls our bodies the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. And in our own life, in our body, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible commands us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. I read a story one time about R.A. Torrey, that great evangelist. R.A. Torrey was filled with the Spirit of God. He was a worldwide evangelist. And it is said that one time R.A. Torrey, that he received a message from someone in New Britain, Connecticut. That's 1,000 miles from Chicago. And the only way he could go there was by train at that time. It was for a Sunday school convention, and they wanted R.A. Torrey to come and speak one time. So he was going to have to travel 1,000 miles by train and speak one time and then go back home. He thought about it. He wrestled with it and sought the mind of God. Shall I go? Shall I not go? And even though it's a long trip, 1,000 miles each way, the Spirit of God said, you should go. So R.A. Torrey went to New Britain, Connecticut, a great crowd of people, hundreds and hundreds of people gathered there to hear R.A. Torrey preach. And when he gave the invitation that night, he pleaded for Christians to let God take control of their lives. And at the close of the service, a gentleman approached R.A. Torrey and said, I know you're busy, but I must speak with you. Torrey took him aside and brought up two chairs and sat in one and had the gentleman sit in the other facing him. And the man said, I want the power of God in my life. I'm tired of formalism. I'm tired of empty altars. I want God's power. And if you would, if you could you take a little time and pray for me, that I might have God's power in my life. He did. That's my heart's cry today. Oh God, give me your power. That was what this man's power. And in a moment, the two turned and got down on their knees and by those chairs, and Ari Torrey put his hand on the man and prayed, and he said, oh God, here's this man who's a Christian and in whom the Spirit of God lives. Fill him so full of thy Spirit that out of him shall flow rivers of water and great things will happen. Well, time passed, and the next year, Ari Torrey was asked again to come back to this same conference. And he said, you remember the man when you were here last year who told you, I want to have God's power in my life? I want the Lord to take me. I want the Lord to use me. And Torrey said, yes, of course I remember him. Whatever happened to him? I haven't heard anything from him. Oh, he said, you must look into this and you'll find out. You cannot miss out on this. He said, tell me about the man. And he said, well, he went back to his church. He was a preacher. He went back to his church where there had been no revival, nothing happening. And there'd never been a revival in that church, never had souls saved. And the power of God came upon him, and the church was filled so that there was not room for the crowd. People getting saved and souls being won by the hundreds, and the power of God came on him. And in 1 year, his whole church and his whole life were changed, and great things happened. Not only that, he said, but other churches around him caught fire. And God is burning like a wildfire in this part of the country because of one man that got filled with the Holy Spirit. God said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Jesus said, out of your life, her bosom shall flow rivers of living water. People will know that God is working in you, and you can get people saved and you can do the work of God. I believe that water speaks of revival. God said, I will pour water upon the dry ground. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. And I believe that God can send revival. And I want to tell you, more than anything else in the world, we need this heaven-sent revival. We need the breath of God. We need the power of the Spirit of God upon us. Too many of our churches are dead or dying. Too many of our churches, we just sing the songs and listen to the sermon and go back out and live the same way we've been living. Friends, God wants to change that. He wants to change our lives. We need revival. We need the water that the Bible's speaking about. So in this miracle that we read about that happened in Jericho, God used human agency. Men came to Elisha and said, you men bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And Elisha took salt and healed the poisonous waters. Elisha said, bring me salt. The salt was brought. The water was made pure. And that water from that day forward was ever fresh and ever running. It was an eternal work that God wrought. And God is able to do it again in our day. Oh, the pure water. And God used a human agency, a man. And men and salt can work together to bring about a miracle. And friends, the power of God has not changed. The same Holy Spirit is available today that's always been available. He's just looking for instruments who are willing to surrender and be available to God. Are we available? Will we allow God to use us? In Ecclesiastes 3:14, the Bible says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Oh, that today we would say, God, purify thy healing power in my life. Let God heal you. Let the Spirit of God fill you. Ask the Spirit of God to come and fill you with his power today. Let the waters of God's word heal you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for salvation full and free. We thank you that water represents salvation. And Lord, we know there's a lot of corrupt messages being preached around our land this day, but we have pure message in your word of salvation, and you're still saving souls. And it may be, Lord, that you've brought people to this service this morning who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I pray, Lord, that today they may hear your Spirit speaking to their heart, and may this be the day that they would repent of their sins, by faith receive Jesus Christ and be born again into your family. And then, Lord, there are other things that need to be healed today. There are some that need to be filled with thy Spirit. I pray that today would be a day they would open their hearts afresh and anew to be filled with your Spirit. Some have broken homes, broken marriages, broken relationships, and Lord, they need your healing today. I pray that your Spirit would help them, and that their lives might be healed in a wonderful way, that they'd leave from here today knowing that you touch them and can use them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we conclude the service today, we're going to have an invitation hymn in just a moment. If you do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we invite you to come. You come and stand here at the front. We'll have somebody take the Bible, show you from God's Word how you can be saved. You can leave here today knowing that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your home. Or it may be that you want to just come for prayer today. You come, and someone will pray with you. You let God heal your heart. Let God heal your home. As the waters were healed in Jericho, he can heal whatever needs to be healed in your life. Come and allow God to do that. Let's stand together as we come sing the final hymn.